need some volunteers for the youth rally. If you're interested, I've put a sign-up sheet out there. I need specifically 7 people. If we don't have 7 people, we cancel the whole thing. Serious. All right, but there's 7, so there's 7 spots, and with the jobs that are there, and if you have any questions, if you'd like to sign up, it's out there. You volunteering, Miss? Oh, praise the Lord! Answers to prayer already?
And the other sat down real fast.
Well, I'll put you down as a team leader then. You'll be right up here. Great. What a blessing. All right. See how quickly the Lord answers prayers? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? All right. Now, let's take our Psalter out tonight. There's the Psalter, and let's go to page number 28. Let's do 28. Aaliyah also volunteered. Kara volunteering. Oh, everybody's volunteering. Just kidding. Let's all stand and sing, "He Ransomed Me," number 28. Let's just enjoy singing, "He Ransomed Me" tonight. Page number 28.
There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me, and from sin and shame he bought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, "Glory, glory, glory." Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. From the depth of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With his precious blood he bought me. When I knew him not, he sought me. And in love divine he ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free.
Singing tonight. Good job. Let's dismiss the teens and kids downstairs at this time.
Okay, Hebrews chapter 13 tonight. The book of Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read just verse 1 and 2 tonight. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. So find your place there if you would. join me there as I read aloud Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. Verse 1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." That would be a good sermon and study right there, but we're going on to verse 2. "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers." That's a good challenge. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Be hospitable even to those to whom you do not know. Notice the rest of the verse. "For thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Isn't that a strange thought? Have you ever met an angel? What Merle just said, "I married one." Good for you. Have you ever met an angel? Well, the Bible says some have entertained angels unawares. So what is an angel? What does an angel look like? Where did they come from? What do they do? Someone asked me several months ago to do a lesson or a study on angels, and I didn't feel led to do it until now, and so we're going to do it this evening. And so to do a study on angels, I did what any good preacher would do. I got on Google, and I Googled angels, and I found out they're a baseball team in Southern California. That was the first thing that came up when I typed in angels. The second thing I found out is that all of us have an angel, depending on your month and dates of birth, that you can pray to for protection. I found out that my birthday falls under the protection of an angel named Michael, M-I-K-A-L. I'm not sure I want to pray to him. He looked more like a woman than he did a man. His big glistening wings and his long, long hair. I mean long, down to his waist. And told me the little prayer I could pray. He's the angel of opportunity. Huh, I feel special. So what in the world are angels? Are they just a baseball team in Southern California? I remember the movie Angels in the Outfield. I know what an angel looks like. It's Christopher Lloyd coming down, flying down, taking the great baseball. Some of you haven't seen that. You're deprived of culture. That's all there is to it. Or maybe you remember the other angel, Clarence, when he helped George Bailey so he could earn his wings. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I feel sorry for you. If you know Madonna and don't know Clarence the Angel, there's something wrong, all right? We have a lot of thoughts about angels, and people get real sentimental when it talks about angels, and that's one reason I'm hesitant to start preaching or looking at what the Bible says, because a lot of people like what they think about angels, and they don't want the Bible to mess up what they think about them. They have a collection of them, maybe, and maybe you do, I don't know about it, so I'm not picking on you. They have a collection of little angels at home, little statues or something, and they probably aren't going to meet the criteria of what the Bible says an angel is. And so we're strictly going with the Bible. If you've got a different opinion, you're welcome to it. Anybody that wants to be wrong can be wrong, and we're not going to do anything about that. But we are going to look at the Scriptures and what the Bible says about angels. Now, other than Googling it, the best thing to do is get out a Bible concordance and look up the word angel. And when you look up the word angel, you'll find it's 203 times in the Bible. So that's going to give you a lot of information to run all those references. Yet at the same time, the majority of those times that the word angel singular appears, it's the angel of the Lord. That's not the same as an angel. Because the angel of the Lord is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it says an angel of the Lord did this or did that or spoke this or spoke that. That is, we believe, the Lord Jesus Christ before His incarnation. That He appeared down here on earth as the angel of the Lord. So we can't use Him really as an example for an angel because He is special without doubt. So then we look at the word plural, angels, and that's 94 times in the Bible. And those usually are plural, so that's not talking about the angel of the Lord. So that gives us more information. Now, 13 of those references to angels are in the Old Testament. And so the very few times they appear tell us a lot. And then 81 times it's in the New Testament. I believe it's 53 of those in the book of Revelation alone. And if you remember the book of Revelation, there's a lot about angels there, and we'll talk about that as we get into our study. And so we're going to look tonight at what the Bible says about angels. I've tried to get all my information and categorize it, as you know, as my style or whatever it is. And so first of all, we're going to look at their creation. Where they came from. Where did angels come from? Look, if you would, with me at the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. This is going to be more of a Bible study than it is a sermon tonight. And we're going to do a lot of turning to verses. That's always safe anyways. Especially if you're going to contradict somebody's opinion of something. So look at Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. And verse number 6. Here's a prayer. And the prayer in verse number 6 says, "Thou, even Thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host." Now that doesn't use the word angel or angels in the verse. But he's talking about creation. This is even before he made Adam. He says, "Thou hast made the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. Thou preservest them all. The host of heaven worshipeth thee." So here we find that the Bible tells us that God made the host of heaven. God made the angels. They are created beings. They were a special creation of God before God made man. Now, one reason to keep that in mind is that simply means this: God is not still creating angels. There was a one-time creation, as far as we can tell, when He made the host of heaven. And when He made him, that was the end of it. There are not little baby angels with a bow and an arrow shooting people and growing up to be adult angels. All right, angels were angels. God made them as angels before God created man. One other mistaken idea is that this, that when we die, we become angels. And that's not true. Our souls are completely different from angels. There's a song I like to sing, and one of the part of the song says, "There's a brand new angel in the choir. I want to hear her sing." And though that's a great song, I like that song, that's not good theology. And many times our songs do get a little misdirected from good theology. There's not brand new angels. When someone dies, there's not a new angel in the choir. There's a new soul in heaven if they're saved, but there's not a new angel. The angels, the angels were all made at one time prior to the creation of the world and the creation of mankind. Look at Colossians, going all the way over from Nehemiah in the Old Testament to Colossians chapter 1 in the New Testament. The book of Colossians chapter 1. Again, like the verse in Nehemiah, this verse does not refer specifically to angels, does not use the word, but it talks about that creation. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, and verse number 16. A very familiar verse, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. The Bible says, "For by Him," which is speaking of Christ, "for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "and for Him." We know from Nehemiah 9:6, and another verse we're going to look at here briefly in a moment, we know that the angels were created by God. And the Bible says all things were created by Him. So the angels are not an exception to that. They were all created by Him and for Him. So the angels are a special creation of God, a special class, different from humanity, different from people that God created long before He created Adam in the garden. It's interesting to note in verse 16 it says, "For by Him," speaking of Christ, verse 15 says, "the image of the invisible God, the firstborn," that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, "For by Him were all things created." That's also a good verse to point out that Jesus Christ was not a created being. That God the Father did not make God the Son, but that God the Son was eternal with God the Father. Because if God the Father created the Son, then all things weren't made by the Son. He didn't make Himself. So Colossians 1:16 tells us, shows us the eternity of the Son of God. That He was there from the very beginning. He was one with the Father as they created everything. As you know in Genesis 1:27, when they created man, they said, "Let us make God in our own image, after our own likeness." That is said of man, not of the angels. And so we find that they were created. One more verse about this creation. Look back at the book of Job, chapter 38. Job, chapter 38, right before the book of Psalms in the middle of the Bible. Job, chapter 38. Excuse me, Job, chapter 38. I like Job 38. It's hard to go right down to the verse I want without starting at the beginning, verse number 1. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man.'" I like that. "For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" He's kind of saying, like, look who thinks they know so much. Elihu has just got done speaking and giving his peace, and God says, you know, where were you? Declare if thou hast understanding. Verse 5, "Who hath laid the measures thereof if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof?" He's talking about those days of creation back in Genesis chapter 1. He said, where were you, Elihu? Maybe possibly a reference also to Job's three friends and maybe even to Job himself who spoke many times before this. But he says, where were you on creation's morning when I did this? Notice in verse 7 it says, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Again, the term angel or angels does not appear in that verse, but there's a group of people that were there on creation's morning, cheering as God made the heaven and the earth, stretched out the line, put the earth in its orbit. There was a group there called the sons of God. Those were the angels, already created by God before He made the seas and the whales and the fowl and before He made man. There is a created group called angels. So the Bible makes it very clear. Angels are not departed saints that became angels when they arrived in heaven. They're a special, separate entity, group of people. Let's learn some more about their creation as we look about these angels. Look at Genesis chapter 18. Let's start in Genesis 19, because this is actually the first time the word angels appears in the Bible. Genesis 19. We're going to take our time. We're not going to be in a hurry. By that I simply mean not that we're going to be here for hours tonight, but that we're not going to be in a hurry to finish this tonight. We will continue on as we need to. So there's no timetable in that regard. But Genesis chapter 19. It says in verse number 1, "And there came two angels." All right, here's two members of this group that we're talking about. "There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He said, "Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, unto your servant's house, and tarry all night and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." Now, we're not looking at this chapter for the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, but I want you to notice, two angels appeared at Sodom. When Lot saw them, notice how he treated them. "Behold, now, my lords, I pray you, turn into your servant's house. Tarry all night. Wash your feet. Rise up early. Go on your way." It says in verse 3, he pressed upon them, they turned unto him, entered his house, and he made them a feast. And he did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. These are two angels. But what did Lot think? He couldn't tell they were angels. He thought they were men. In fact, down in verse number 5, those that come and bang on the door of Lot's house said, "Where are the men which came unto thee this night?" The appearance of these angels was the appearance of two men. Again, they're not babies or teenagers. They're full-grown men. And so that first appearance of the word angels shows us that they were two adult males. I would tell you simply this, without taking a lot of time to run all the scriptures, every time an angel appears in the Bible, it's an adult male. It would seem to be that angels are all adult males. Now again, that kind of rattles the sentimentality and the marketplace and things like that. I read somewhere said this. He said, someone was doing a Bible study on these that I looked up, and he said, sometimes they appear as males. The only thing interesting about that is every time they appear as males. He's kind of leaving a loophole. Sometimes, so as if so, I can't find a reference in the Bible where an angel shows up and is mistaken for a woman. Every time it's mistaken for a man. So their appearance were as males. Look back, if you would, at Genesis 18. Again, here the word angel is not used, but Abraham entertained a couple of angels unaware. In Genesis 18 and verse 1, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the mains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground." Three men appeared to Abraham, and we'll not read all of Genesis 18. But these three men appear, seem to be the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of them, and then two angels with him. And when Abraham saw them, he mistook them for three men. And again, I would say that every place in Scripture where we find angels, they appear as men. Let's go, without running all the Old Testament references, which are many, go all the way over to the Gospel of Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I'm not trying to make a point or be contentious. I'm just saying that these angels are created beings. They were called in Job 38 the sons of God. And every angel in the Bible that we find, that we read about, that's identified is an adult male. We know of two names, Gabriel and Michael. And these two angels, Michael is an archangel, called an archangel. Gabriel is called an angel, but these two are definitely males. Look here in Mark chapter 16. This is the resurrection of Christ when the women come to the to the tomb, and the stone is rolled away. And notice Mark chapter 16 and verse 5. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. When they came to the tomb early that Sunday morning and the stone was rolled away, they saw what to them appeared to be a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a long white garment, and his appearance frightened them. The reason that's noteworthy is look back at Matthew chapter 28, where Matthew tells the same story. And that man is there at the tomb in verse number 5. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which is crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Verse 5 said, The angel answered and said unto the woman. They said, A young man. So every time we find angels in the Bible, they appear as young men. Now someone might try to say, I guess just to make a point, well, maybe they're really female, but when they appear, they're male. We're not going to get into the Kardashian stuff tonight. Or the Jenner stuff, I guess, really. But every time they appear, they're male. One more verse along this line. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Notice that angel in Mark chapter 16 was in a long white apparel. That seems to be their clothing. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ, of course, is being resurrected, being taken up to heaven, I should say ascended up to heaven. It says in verse number 10 that while the disciples, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Two men. Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. These two men in white apparel, standing next to the disciples as they're watching the Lord ascend to heaven. These two men are two angels. And yet to the naked eye, to you and I, to mankind, they appear as men. So that verse we started with in Hebrews 13:2 says that we can entertain strangers or entertain angels unawares. That doesn't mean that in your dream you're going to see this 90-foot angel standing at the foot of your bed with the long golden hair and the blue eyes, the woman angel, the feet. That just doesn't fit the biblical picture. The angels in the Bible are created by God. They were created as young men or as men, as adult males. They did not grow up from baby cupids. They were adult males from the very beginning, from their creation. They are a group of people all created back creation's morning. That's the Bible explanation of where the angels came from. Now, I don't find any contradictory statements in Scripture otherwise to that, so because of that, we're just going to go with that. Now, look if you would at Daniel chapter 9, verse number 21. Still talking about their creation. Daniel chapter 9. Look at verse number 20. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. Daniel is getting a great revelation from God in verse 20. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Verse 21, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, and the Bible tells us in the New Testament that Gabriel is an angel, the man Gabriel who I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. The Bible tells us that the man Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, was able to fly. Now, whether he's a special angel out of that group that's got that ability doesn't seem probable, though it's possible. But it looks like these created beings, these adult males that God made before He made humanity, are able to fly. Look over at the end. Look at Revelation 14. I told you we'd do a lot of turning tonight. Revelation chapter 14, and see that the end of the Bible confirms what Daniel said. Again, the book of Revelation mentions these angels more than any other book in the Bible. I think the book of Judges and the book of Zechariah, I believe, both have the word angel 19 times. And Revelation is 53. So from second place, mentioning angels 19 times, to Revelation 53, that's a whole lot of times. And in Revelation 14 and verse 6, John says this as he's given this revelation. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them. So here are two references, the only two that I'm aware of, two references that angels can fly. Now from that, many have made the supposition that in order to fly, they must have wings. And so every time you see the picture of an angel drawn by someone, it's this character with these big, glorious wings coming off of their back. I mean, big, I don't know what kind of, how to describe them. You can picture them. They come up and hump up higher than their heads behind them. These big, glorious wings that come out. I always find that humorous. Because I really think that if angels looked like that, that when Lot saw them in Genesis 19, he would have had a clue. These aren't your average wayfaring strangers. When Abraham saw them, when the two men standing there in one, if they'd have looked next to them and here's these creatures with these gigantic wings on their back, I think they would have figured out these are not men. They're something different. They're something special. Now the cherubim or the seraphim are described as having wings on the Ark of the Covenant. They cover over the Ark. But angels are never described as having wings. Sorry, Clarence. You're not going to get your wings today. I love that movie. Don't misunderstand me. And also, Dr. Ruckman used to always draw pictures of angels. He drew a lot when he was preaching. And he would talk about the two angels that came to rescue Lot and lead them out. And he would always draw them with wings on their back, though he taught that angels don't have wings. He said, I want you to know which of the two men that are delivering, which one's Lot. So we kind of do that to picture the difference. So it's not like an issue of if you draw an angel with wings, that's blasphemy. It's not that. It's just proper understanding of the Bible. And do you know how few people have a proper understanding of the Bible? Not just when it comes to angels, but almost everything. And so here are angels. They're adult males, but they do not have wings. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Something else about these angels. God created them. He created them male, not male and female. He created them male. He created them without wings. He created them strong. There are no weak angels. Again, I think of Clarence, a little older, a little portly, a little meek. Look at Psalm 103, verse number 20. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Notice that statement. That excel, ye angels, that excel in strength. That doesn't appear that there's a special class of angels that excel, but that all of the angels are strong. We will get into this much later. But we're going to find out in the book of Revelation that these angels are used in the judgment of the nations. They hold back the winds. They hold back the waters of the Euphrates. They sound the trumpets. They pour out the vials. These are strong angels. So when we learn about these angels and their creation, we find out that's what they're like. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Again, jumping from one end of the Bible to the other. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 2, as the Lamb of God is about to open the seals of the book, it says in Revelation 5, 2, John said, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice." So just as we have references to angels flying, we have references to their strength. There are no weak angels. There are no medium strength angels. Do you remember that Jacob wrestled with an angel? Now again, that's an angel of the Lord, so that we're getting a different category. But the angels are wingless adult males with strength. They're strong. Not only are they strong, but they're wise. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14. Second Samuel chapter 14, verse 17. They're praising David for his wisdom. And in verse 17, "Then thine handmaid said, the word of my Lord, the king, shall now be comfortable. For as an angel of God, so is my Lord the King to discern good and bad." So we find out that the angels have knowledge. The Bible says the angels can discern good and bad. Remember, when man was originally created, he could not discern good and bad. He only knew good. Till he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then after that point. But the angels from the very beginning can stand up in heaven and look down here, and they know what's good and they know what's bad. Notice here down in verse number 20 of this same chapter, "To fetch about this form of speech, hath thy servant Joab done this, and my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God to know all things that are in the earth." I'm kind of wanting to be an angel right now. An adult male. Strong. Wise. Look at Psalm 78. Remember what it said that Lot did in Genesis chapter 19? He brought these two men in and he made them unleavened bread. The Bible tells us that when the children of Israel wandered through the wilderness, they ate angels' food. We make angels' food cake because of that. Look at Psalm 78. Verse number 25. Again, talking about that manna, verse 24. "He had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food." Now that definitely indicates to us that there is food that angels eat. They did eat angels' food. The men back in Genesis 19 went in and ate unleavened bread. So again, I want to be an angel. An adult male that can fly, strong and wise, and eats. You sold me right there on that one. Here's one more. Here's even better. Look at Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. I jumped to this one too quick. We'll come back to something else and then we'll finish up for tonight. But look at Luke chapter 20. Talking about those in the resurrection, those of us that are saved when we rise with Christ, the Bible says in verse 36 that we will not die anymore, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. Now, equal to the angels in this context means simply this: we won't die anymore because angels never die. There's no such thing as a dead angel. No such thing as a dying angel. Those angels that God created back at creation's morning thousands of years ago, over 6,000 years ago, before God created the earth. Did you get that? 6,000 years ago before God created the earth. Again, we're going with Bible, I know. I'm not talking about millions and millions or billions and billions. 6,000 years ago when God created the heaven and the earth. At that time, He made the angels. And they've been around since that time. None of them have died off. None of them have expired. They are vibrant, strong, wise, flying, eating, knowledgeable creatures. There's only one area or two areas in which their knowledge is limited. We'll look at that and close tonight. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Speaking just tonight about their creation, what they are like, what these angels are like. Matthew chapter 24. And verse number 36. Talking about the second coming of Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 24:36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." As wise and as knowledgeable as the angels are, not even they know when the Lord is coming back. They will be as surprised as we are when Jesus stands up from the right hand of the Father and comes down to receive us to Himself. So the angels, with all that wisdom and all that experience and all that knowledge, they still can't gauge what that is. God's kept them in the dark about it. So when somebody, like the fellow did, 88 Reasons Why the Lord is Coming Back in 1988, which if you don't know didn't happen, then he added one more and had 89 reasons why the Lord was coming back in 89. He sold a lot of books. What he's saying is, I'm smarter than an angel. Because God didn't even tell them when He was coming back. And so when we try to forecast the date of His coming, we're trying to pass on information that God definitely has not revealed to us, because He hasn't even told the wisest creatures in heaven. They don't know the time of His coming. There's something else. It's not that they don't know it, but they don't understand it. And you do. Look, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll close with this tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse number 11. First Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Peter says, "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify." Talking about the Old Testament writers of Scripture that had the Spirit of Christ in them, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So those men in the Old Testament, Isaiah and David in the Psalms, those men, as they were writing, predicted or prophesied of the sufferings of Christ, Verse 13, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Those Old Testament writers and you and I in New Testament times all understand the Scriptures and the sufferings of Christ and the bearing of our sins and the redemption that comes through His shed blood. At the end of verse 12 says, which things the angels desire to look into. As wise as the angels are, the purpose of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, can we say it this way, is over their head. It's beyond their understanding. You know why? They're not human. They don't have a sinful nature like you and I do. They're not descendants of Adam and Eve. So they don't know what sin in the flesh is like. They've never dealt with sin in and of themselves. So they don't understand the gospel of Christ. They don't understand why Jesus had to die. I mean, they were there when He created them back in creation's morning. Created them as they are, strong and vibrant and wise, masculine. Created them. And now they watched as He left heaven, came down to be implanted in the womb of a virgin, and the angels stood around thinking, what in the world is going on? Worked miracles and healed people and fed people. And they thought, okay. But then those very people took Him and crucified Him. What's going on? They buried Him and put Him in a tomb, and the angels just stood bewildered. Because they desired to look into it. They did not understand what was going on. So as great as the angels are, they're limited in their knowledge in just two areas. When Christ is going to return, don't ask them, don't pray to them. You never pray to an angel anyways, except on that one website. They don't know the time of the second coming of Christ, and they don't understand what you understand, that you are a sinner. And without the grace of God through Jesus Christ and His shed blood, you would die and go to hell. They stand amazed and puzzled at all of that. Their creation. Where did they come from? I told you I have 4 points. That's number one. Their creation. Where did they come from? Next week, I'll just give you a clue. Their count. How many of them are there? I'll let you study between now and next Wednesday night. You can come back and tell me exactly how many angels there are. The Bible gives us some numbers, and we'll look at that next week. All right, let's all stand together tonight for a word of prayer and a song of closing. Father, again, we are so thankful for the precious Word of God. Lord, 66 books divided in the Old and the New Testament. Lord, 785,000 some odd words. And Lord, every one of them a word straight from You. And Lord, tonight we've looked at what we can find in Your Word about angels and their origin, their creation, how they got here. And I pray, Father, You'd use this study of Your Word to build our faith, increase our faith. Lord, increase our knowledge of Your Word in this area, but most of all, work in our hearts and make us impressed, Father, and appreciative of Your holy Word. Give us more information as we go forward in our study, but Father, help us to wade through all of the junk that's presented in the world today and know exactly what the Bible says when it talks about these holy angels. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.